Good evening, good Erev Shabbos, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me. I would like to begin tonight with a disclaimer that I think you all know is coming, particularly if you've heard me speak before, and that is that I have always felt, and I continue to feel, that one's pulpit, a rabbinic pulpit, should be politics-free. And so I begin by saying that tonight, while I am speaking to you about something that is on all of our minds, I am not going to speak about politics. You know my thoughts in general, and I feel perhaps more than ever that it is simply not my place, nor is this the time to reflect on the state of politics in this country. Additionally, I'll mention that while not everyone is bound by the same professional limitations that I am, I think it would be wise for people to take time to be able to process and reflect and form more objective opinions rather than just shoot from the hip. Again, this is always so, but particularly at such a time of sadness and division and uncertainty and a time of fear for so many. That being said, yesterday was a truly horrifying day. There are images that are seared into our minds, images which until this point were the stuff of Hollywood, pictures that we wish that we can unsee, but we can't, certainly not at this point. And as always, as Torah Jews, we should strive to reflect upon events in our lives, big and small, through the prism of Torah. And when we do so, it allows us to experience and process these experiences in a manner which allows for, I'll call, sort of a filtration of sorts. And if we are fortunate, even a purification through Torah. I do not mean to suggest that there is a way that we can or we should spin yesterday's events, or for that matter, many of the difficult things that we experience in life are just that. They are difficult and they are challenging, and there is nothing that we could necessarily do at the time or see which will make them seem good, fine, positive. I'm not talking about sanitizing that which is filthy or purifying that which is impure. Rather, recognizing that the Torah provides us with perspective. And if we are zocheh to apply that perspective effectively, it can guide us through many countless situations in life. So this evening, I'd like to share three quick thoughts with you. Number one, watching yesterday's events unfold in Washington, D.C. was obviously truly horrifying. And what came to my mind yesterday was something that I heard from Rabbi Yisachar Frand at least 25 years ago, when I remember hearing him recall and reflect upon an opportunity that he had many years earlier, when he had the opportunity to escort Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichrono Livracha, when he was touring Washington, D.C. So I remember him saying it took place during the summer. Perhaps Rabbi Yaakov came, you know, to the Baltimore area. Maybe he was visiting Ner Yisrael. And they spent a day in Washington, and he was touring the traditional tourist sites. It was a very hot day, and it was a humid day. And Rabbi Yaakov, understandably, typically walked around with his kapata, his heavy black jacket. But because it was such a hot day, he took it off. And he was, you know, walking, you know, around Washington, D.C., holding his jacket. But when he came before the U.S. Capitol, and he was standing in that place, he put his jacket on. He felt that this was an opportunity for him to display Kavod Malchus, to show that it is our responsibility to demonstrate not only Hakaras HaTov, but real reverence and respect and honor for this sacred place. And seeing the images from yesterday, when a place that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky felt that it was appropriate for him to put on his heavy black kapot in the middle of the sweltering heat, and to see how the place had become so debased and so disgraced, was truly heart-wrenching. The Mishnah in Masechta Sota, which we've referenced several times over the past year, talks about the state of affairs in the world in the days preceding the coming of Mashiach. Ikva said the Mashiach. And one of the features of this time in history, Chazal tell us, is a time in which there is a total lack of regard for authority. That leadership means nothing. That people don't recognize who they are relative to the people beside them and to the people above them and below them. I don't know the difference between my superior and my friend. And seeing, just on a certain level, the total disregard, the chaos that was taking place at the U.S. Capitol, the very same place yesterday, was deeply upsetting to me, to all of us. But again, thinking through that perspective. You know, we're going to read this coming week, Parsha Shemos, of the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe's initial entry into his position as being Moshe Anshei Yisrael, the one who would lead the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And of course, Moshe, as we read in this week's parasha, will develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the likes of which no one ever would. Lokom Naviyobi Yisrael Kamoshe, as the Torah records at the end of the Torah, there never was and there never will be another prophet that had a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was able to speak to him panim al panim, face to face. Kasher Yudaber Isha Reyehu. A very special relationship, a very unique relationship. So it's interesting to consider, what are the very first words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu? What are the first words that God says to Moshe? They have countless conversations over that are recorded in the Torah. Many, many times. How many times do we read the words, Vayidaber Hashem o Moshe Lemor? So what were the very first things that Hashem says to Moshe? So the Torah describes that Moshe comes and he observes the sneh, the burning bush, and his attention is drawn to this wondrous sight, and he's coming closer and closer, and Hashem calls his name, Moshe, Moshe, and he says to him, Shal na'alecha mi'al raglecha. Take your shoes off. Ki amakom asher ta'omed lav admas kodeshu. You are standing on holy ground. And these are the first words. Very strange. The first words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, take your shoes off. Really? I mean, I don't know about you, but I would have expected something perhaps a little more meaningful. Perhaps he should introduce himself, as he goes on to do immediately thereafter. Anochi Hashem Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avram, Yitzchak V'Yaakov. No, the first words are, take your shoes off. And why is that? And the answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reminding Moshe what we should all know, and that is, know where you are. Know where you are standing. You are now standing in a holy place. And so therefore, please display the proper honor, the kavod, the reverence that you should have for this place. Lahavdil, the U.S. Capitol is not Admas Kodesh, certainly not in the sense that Har Sinai was. But still, the Gemara in Brachos teaches, Malchus Da'ara Ke'im Malchus Da'Rakia, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us and encourages us to have Malchus in this world, monarchy, and in most countries in the world today, including our own, that in the form of a democracy, an elected government. And this is supposed to enable us to understand and to appreciate on a certain level what Malchus HaDurakia is. Because it is so difficult to relate to the concept of Malchus. And so therefore we come to places of Malchus HaDa'ara, and it is supposed to be reminiscent of, it is supposed to inspire us to appreciate Malchus HaDurakia. So we can't compare on any level, but Chazal wants us to appreciate that respect and honor and reverence for government is in of itself an important religious and a spiritual value. And I know that if you're watching me tonight, there's no way that you were there yesterday. And of course, I'm not speaking to people who would even think in their wildest dreams about storming the U.S. Capitol. But it is a moment for us to reflect upon our own attitudes and our relationship with not a particular politician, not a particular governing official, but just the concept of Malchus Da'ara, government. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Shal na'alecha mi'al raglecha, ki amakom asher ta'omed lav admas kodesh hu, remember where you are. Show respect. Secondly, clearly what made yesterday's events particularly horrifying was to watch, to observe violence in the inner chamber of our government, the oldest and longest living democracy on the planet, to my knowledge. And introducing violence into that place is so profoundly disturbing on both a substantive level as well as a symbolic one. Again, this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu observes one Jew lifting his hands to strike another. And Moshe says to him, Rama, Rasha, Lama Sakariyacha. He calls him a wicked one, a Rasha. Why are you hitting your friend? And Chazal teaches us from here that simply raising one's hand to strike another in of itself is considered an act of rishus, that's wickedness. According to Jewish law, it is not only a crime to assault someone physically, But even positioning oneself, posturing oneself, pivoting in preparation to strike another, that is considered a crime. And the question is why? Clearly, we could understand and appreciate that for me to go ahead and physically assault someone, so of course that is a criminal act. And it is one which is actionable, and it is one which is deserving of a response on many levels. On a criminal level, in certain situations, restitution is due to that individual. But if I just lift my hand, if I just position myself, but I don't actually strike that person, so why am I called a Rasha? Why do we say, regarding such an individual, that he's pasul eidus? So I want to thank my dear friend and colleague, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, who pointed out that there are many different answers to this question, and some of the Mefarshim and Poskim try to understand what is it exactly about raising one's hand. Is it like a chatzi shir? Is it a gezeira of sorts that it will lead to something bigger? Rabbi Feldman suggested that the prohibition is not merely designed to prevent further transgression, but it speaks to the declaration of an attitude. A person who raises his hand in threat of striking another has severely altered and distorted and corrupted the tone of that interaction, indicating that I am now prepared to introduce violence into this equation. Until now, we have been talking. Until now, it has been relatively civil. We don't agree with each other. It's becoming heated. It's reaching this boiling point, and now I am taking it to the next level. Now I am going to lower myself, and this is going to become an animalistic conflict with physical violence. And such corruption of the standards of appropriate human behavior constitutes an independent prohibition, even if it doesn't lead to physical violence. But introducing that into the equation is something which the Torah characterizes as rishus. That in and of itself is an act of evil that is wickedness. The final point that I would like to make this evening is one that I made several months ago. I don't remember if it was right before or right after Election Day back in November. And I spoke about the fact that we know that in Shul, each and every Shabbos, we have a tradition to recite a tefillah on behalf of the government of the United States. There are different versions, different nusros, but in virtually all shuls, the bracha explicitly states that we are asking our Kadosh Baruch Hu to bless and protect and to exalt the president and the vice president and all of the elected officers of this country. There is an interesting discussion as to how old this tefillah is, the actual text that we use, but one thing is clear, and that is that it was inspired by Yirmiyahu HaNavi many, many years ago, thousands of years ago, and I'll share with you that pasuk in a moment. But I mentioned at the time several months ago that I recall that 12 years ago, when President Obama was elected his first term as president of the United States, there were certain individuals, Orthodox rabbis, who declared that in their shuls they would no longer be saying the Tefillah L'Shlomo Medina. Don't ask me who they are, I don't remember, and even if I did, I wouldn't tell you. But there were people who said, this is not for us, Ad Khan, we didn't vote for him, he doesn't represent us, he represents a threat to the Jewish people, whatever it is, and so therefore, he's out. We are no longer going to say the Tefillah on behalf of President Obama. Fast forward 8 years later, President Trump is elected president, and once again, the same thing plays out. Obviously, different rabbis, different communities, but people reaching the same conclusion, that we will no longer say this prayer. How could we? How could we go ahead and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bless and to protect, to help and exalt the president, this individual? Now, I want to take you back to Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, as recorded in Sefer Yirmiyahu Perek Chavtes, tells the people as they are entering not just a new phase and a new stage of life, but really a completely new form of existence as a Jewish people, leaving Eretz Yisrael and having to enter what we call the Gullus. And he tells them, you're going to be there for a while, and so therefore get comfortable. Build houses, benu batim, v'shevu, v'nitu, ganos, v'chlu es piryan. You should plant, you should build, you should partake, become part of the land, part of the infrastructure of the land, develop the land, because you're going to be there for a while. And then he says, V'dir shua shaloma ir asher iglesi eschem shah. But davin, for the welfare and for the peace of your hosts, v'hispalu badol Hashem, and davin to God on their behalf, ki b'shloma yelachem shalom. Praying for peace is something which will be peaceful not only for them, but for you as well. Now, why is this such an important value? Why does Yirmiyahu HaNavi preemptively instruct the people of his generation as they have to prepare for so much uncertainty that, oh, and don't forget to daven for your hosts. So I think the pashup shot, if you will, is almost seen in the pasuk itself, ki b'shlom yelachem shalom, because if it's peaceful there, then hopefully it'll be peaceful here as well. We don't need more examples. We've seen enough over the past 24 hours, and frankly over the past year, of how important it is to have law and order, to protect law-abiding citizens from civil unrest and, God forbid, anarchy. Reb Chanina Skana Kohanim says it more explicitly in Pirkei Avos, Havi mispalu b'shlomo shel malchus, you should daven for the welfare of the host government, she'umolei mo ra'a, because if not for the reverence that people will display, ishes reyehu chayim b'la'o, which is a difficult phrase to translate. People will swallow each other, consume each other. Again, if you have a difficult time understanding what that means, then all you need to do is refer back to some of the images that we saw yesterday. And so therefore, on a very simple, practical level, in order to make sure that we are safe in our homeland, we should daven, regardless of who the president, the vice president, and the officers of the country may be at any given time. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his commentary on that mission and others, however, says that there's another reason. And that is because he says we care about all people in the world. As Jews, sometimes we are guilty of asking ourselves the following question: is it good for the Jews? Now, of course, we should think about whether something is good for the Jews or not good for the Jews. Why should we be different than anybody else? That's not called being selfish. That's not called being self-absorbed. But is that all we care about? Do we only care about what's good for us? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, no. As Jews, we don't only care about our own interests. We care about the continued betterment of society, even if it does not affect us in any way whatsoever personally. We want stability in government, hoping that it will ultimately be the bedrock of peace, stability, and progress for all people on earth. And so therefore, havi mispalu b'shlomo shel malchus, why? Because it's an important Torah value. We want peace, stability, and order in the world. And finally, I believe that there is a very, very important additional reason why we should say this tefillah. Regardless of who the president is, and I will say, and this is not intended in any way whatsoever to be a partisan statement to the contrary, I repeat the disclaimer that I made earlier, that I'm not speaking politics, and so therefore don't hear something that I'm not saying. But whether you would have been among that group of people who said, you know what, when President Obama was elected president, thanks but no thanks, or whether you would have been, if you could make these decisions, one of those people, when President Trump was elected, I'm not going to say this tefillah, I think you're both wrong. And to the contrary, I would say the more concerned you are, all the more reasons to say this tefillah. You know, in this tefillah, what do? We begin by addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by recounting some of the great moments of divine intervention in history, including saving David, King David, splitting the sea, the Yam Suf, moments of divine intervention, miraculous moments, in which we were able to remember that despite the fact that it seemed at these points in time that there were other people in charge, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was reminding us that ultimately he is not merely the Melech, but the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. We have to recognize that despite all of our efforts, and I hope you voted, it's too late, but I hope you voted. And if you got what you like, you didn't get what you like, it doesn't make a difference. You did the right thing by voting. And as Torah Jews, as citizens of this country, we should not take that right for granted, and we should exercise it with zrizos. We should participate in the elective process, but we should recognize that despite all of our efforts, regardless of what we do, regardless of how much we think that we are living in a true democracy, ultimately, Lev Malachim Biyad Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding the course of history. We are obviously living in unprecedented times, which of course has always been true. We are living through frightening times. We are living through times of great uncertainty. And we all have, and I'm speaking to myself, a great tendency to just become so self-absorbed in the news and to follow what's happening and to listen to the predictions, to the commentaries, to the editorials. And this is, for us, you know, we put all of our, not just of our efforts, all of our amunah and bitachon into these words. But that's not the way it should be. We should believe, but the lev melachim yad Hashem, and one does not preclude the other. One does not negate the other. One does not nullify the other. They operate simultaneously. We vote, we believe in our right to vote, and we do the best we can. But ultimately, rabos machshavos v'levish, v'atzas Hashem yisakum, al tivtuchu b'nedivim. These are psukim that we say each and every day. We remind ourselves, don't become so into yourself to think that really, really, really what it comes down to is this election or that election. We pray for peace, for stability, for law and order. We daven each and every day, but particularly in a formal way in Shul on Shabbos, Tfila l'shlom ha-malchus, because we need to remind ourselves each and every day, v'Yisrael l'shkol nevetach uvo l'tzion goel v'chein yihi ratzon. Those are the most important words, not es hanasi v'esh mishnehu v'esh kol sarei ha-medinos ha-elu. Who, the president, the vice president? No, that's not the most important part. The most important part is to remind ourselves that Malchuso, Malchuso, Kol Alomim, Hapotzeh David Avdo Mecher Raha, Raham, Harosem, Bayon Derchuv, Maim Zim Nisiva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose hand has guided us all throughout history, who's there. And so therefore, at such a time, at a time of uncertainty, of fear, of concern, we should daven like never before for Shlom HaMalchus. Not only as Yirmiyahu HaNavi and Rabbi Chanina Sganei Kohanim seem to be saying, because if it's good for them, it's going to be hopefully be good for us. But also, as Rabbeinu Yonah says, because we care about the welfare, about the betterment of society, we care about not only ourselves, but indeed we care about Kol HaAmim, all of the nations and the people on earth. And so therefore, we should daven like we never have before. I know that it is not Rosh Hashanah, it's not even close to Rosh Hashanah, but I remind you of the beautiful words that we say in the Brach of Malchios on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meloch HaKol HaOlam Bichvodecha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malchus to be restored to the world Bichvodecha. We are living through a time in which there has been such a disgrace of Kvod Malchus Da'ara, and on a certain level, we have to do with Cheshbon and Nefesh, as to whether that is a reflection of a lack of kavod on our part of Malchusa Durakiya. Malchusa Da'ara Ke'en Malchusa Durakiya. If we see a total lack of civility, of law and order, if we see violence, if we see total bittul in the place where Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky put on his kapata out of Kvod Malchus, if we see that, that we also need to take a look in the mirror, each and every one of us, and ask ourselves whether we are lacking in our demonstration, our appreciation of Kvod Malchus, Meloch HaKol HaOlam, Kulo Bichvodecha, V'yeda Kol Po'u Ki Atof Yato. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to enable, to assist all people on earth, all of God's creation, to remember that they are creations. V'yavin Kol Yatzur Ki Ato Yitzarto. We know that politicians very often, it's the nature, it's human nature. Power corrupts. How important it is for each and every one of us, including, we can't speak necessarily always on behalf of or directly to our politicians, but everybody should recognize, ki ato pialto, ki ato yitzarto, that we are the creations, we are not the creator. We are the servants, we are not the king. We are not in control of our destiny. We are subjects of destiny, hopefully not objects of fate, but our destiny ultimately is being led in concert by decisions that we make with our own conscious input, with our Bechira Chafshis, but also understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through what Ramchal calls Hanhogas HaYichud, will see to it that the world will continue to develop and to evolve in the way that it should. May we be Zoche to come to that day, to live to that day where we can not only daven for, but see v'yomar kol Hashem neshama v'yapo. Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech u'malchuso b'kol mashallah. Thank you very much for joining me, wishing each and every one of you a meaningful, a peaceful Shabbos. Thank you.